She's black. She's also back. I'm back with another video. Yes. I got approximately one positive comment last time I uploaded, and apparently that's all it takes. That's all the encouragement I need. So here I am. I'm so sorry. Just checking. I wanted to look in the viewfinder and check, because again, it matters to me. I'm very insecure about how I look sometimes. I would have made another video sooner, but listen, this past week has been wild. These past 2 weeks, God bless. I had this huge red blemish on my nose, and I'm still like dealing with the scarring from it, but it's now at a point to where like I can bust the makeup over it and it's fine. Like, you know. And yeah, it was just big, bright, and red. And I just didn't want to come on here looking like the Chocolate Operation Man. I didn't want that for me. That's not the life I wanted. I mean, listen, it wasn't that bad. Looking back on it, I really was like just a little sexy ass Rudolph. But you know, still, it's not the season for that. It's not quite seasonal. You know, every year Mariah Carey tells us when it's time. It's not time yet. So this is another installment of Homo Alone. Because again, I'm gay, alone, and always home. I'm trying to change that. I'm trying to get more, get out more. Goodness gracious, I don't even know how to form that sentence. That's how foreign it is to me. I'm trying to get out more. I'm trying to have a social life. But we'll see how it goes. Until then, I will mind everybody's business and just recap the things that I enjoyed this week. Again, I want to start off with a word, if you will. Something positive. Because why not? The world needs more positivity, truly. It's bad. The world is bad. It doesn't have to be, though. It doesn't have to be. So many parts of it are good, but so much of it is bad. Anyway, some positivity. I saw a quote on Instagram where it says, "Don't belong where you don't belong." Again, because wordplay. Don't belong where you don't belong. And I thought that was just so damn beautiful. I had to share it. I wanted to share it. I did. Simply because last year, I found myself really grappling with this secondary job I had. And when I had first gotten it, I felt like it was a dream job because I was working for this person who has a notable name and someone who I've looked up to for years. Like, honestly, since I can remember, and I started watching television, I looked up to this person. And I was working for them. And it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And I felt like every step of the way, I was so transparent and communicative about my own personal desires, wants, and how I feel like I could best contribute to their company. The longer I worked there, I only worked there for like a year and a half, right? And I say there because this person has like this production company. So maybe that'll help the wording and understanding of it all. So I worked for the production company. This person who has the name was my boss. And I don't know, this year and a half that I worked for them, I just saw more and more instances of them not being the nicest to others, them having just the lack of awareness to kind of like operate business in a way that felt safe. Long story short, the job got extremely taxing on my mental health. And mind you, this job was my second job, so it was interfering with my primary job that pays my bills. And it was also taking up a lot of time to where I didn't have much time to even go after my own desires on my own, like, free time, because I didn't really have free time. I was either working my first job or my second job. And there was really no time for me to actually follow my dreams. And I thought this job was going to help me follow my dreams. But instead, it was just keeping me running in a circle, it felt. And so I asked to have my contract with this production company. Let's see if we can refigure it. You know, let's see if we can find a way to where I do have more time, or I can utilize my efforts best here so that I'm not burning myself out just for a little bit. It wasn't an indefinite thing. I just wanted the conversation opened, you know? And to that, I was met with a phone call and my contract to be completely ended. Like, there absolutely was no conversation. It was just like, oh, you need time? Well, that doesn't work for me. You're out of here. And that hurt. That hurt. And if I'm not making much sense, please forgive me. I've told the story on TikTok, so I don't want to sound too redundant and it gets very long-winded. But long story short, if those words are even possible when it comes to me, that job wasn't working for my mental health. It also just wasn't working for my schedule. I asked for the possibility of restructuring my role and my responsibilities. And I just, again, wanted that conversation open. And instead of having a conversation at all, I was told to get the fuck out, among other things. It was really hard trying to reconcile. Oh my gosh, what did I do? How did I fuck that up? How did I mess this up so badly? And the biggest thing that I kept thinking about is, like, maybe I should have given it more time. Maybe I should have, like, just waited around to see if it was the thing. Maybe I should have waited around to, like, before I made any sudden moves to even say, like, hey, I'm having a hard time. Maybe I should have given it time to see if it would have passed. Did I royally screw up this opportunity, basically? I look back on it, and even though that question is still, like, whispering in the back of my mind, my instincts and my gut and my heart of hearts, bitch, it really tells me that I didn't. And you want to know why? I can't believe I forgot to add this in. The reason why is because if you are in a dynamic where you voice your needs and the other person isn't at least willing to hear you out and talk things through, then baby, that's not the place for you. That's not where you belong to begin with. And it would probably behoove you to not waste any more time there than you already have. Hence, don't belong where you don't belong. Because for one, a year and a half is a long ass time. Like, it's not too long, right? But it's long enough. It's already taken up a year and a half of my life. And I'm not feeling confident where I am in this role at this company. Why would I continue on exactly the way that it is? And I felt like I did the responsible thing in at least trying to open up a conversation. And ultimately, the decision was made for me. As much as it hurt, now I'm not so mad at it, because I don't know if that place was ever for me to begin with. And I say that because I came across another Instagram post, right? And another post on Instagram was just this slideshow where, you know, it's not for you when ... you know, the ellipses. And it gives you a list of all these different reasons why you know things aren't for you. So some of my favorites, I won't go through them all because not even I am that long-winded. Why am I lying? Yes, I am. But I'm not going to do that to you. It's fine. Some of my favorites are, you'll know it's not for you when peace of mind is the price, not the reward. You'll know it's not for you when it brings you confusion instead of clarity. You'll know it's not for you when it feels like you're always apologizing for being yourself. Which is something that I felt like I had to do, right? Like, my boss is always saying things like, oh my gosh, you're so timid. Like, you got to stop being timid. And they would say it in such a way where, like, they were mad at me about it. Like, and mind you, my quote unquote timidness was just me trying to be polite. It was me, like, not walking directly into someone's personal space without being invited in. And I was immediately told, oh, you're timid. You're too timid. Like, your whole life. It's not, like, okay, calm down. I try to be a very happy bitch. I do. I'm always smiling if I can. I would smile during our Zoom meetings and they'd be like, Calvin, why are you always smiling? You look like somebody's grandmother who's just so proud. And it was done in jest, but like done in such a way where it was brought up so often, it made a bitch feel a little like, okay, what are we doing here? I'm happy to be here. Like, this is like, I look up to you so much and I love your work, and I'm happy anytime I'm in your presence and can hear you talk and speak, because I feel like I'm really gaining knowledge and like some real deal life experience. This is dope as shit. Of course I'm happy. But you know, that's just me. And then the last one is, you'll know it's not for you when being honest feels risky instead of reassuring. And that was another thing. My boss, I was afraid to tell them how I really felt and the truth about really anything. And that's why I think I highlight putting in the work to be transparent and communicative, because being transparent and communicative with this person is, for me, was very hard. Because at any given time, if you said something that they didn't like or that didn't work for them, even if it was just as much as like, oh, I was really confused by this. Oh my gosh, you would get chewed out the frame. The immediate like frustration and, you know, condescension coming from the top all the way on down just didn't really create a healthy work environment for me personally. I say that to say this, when it feels wrong, just go. Just go. Just go. Just go. Don't be long where you don't long. I didn't fuck up the whole damn quote. Don't be long where you don't belong. If it doesn't feel good to you and if it doesn't feel good to your spirit, no matter what it is, baby, run. Run. Go the other direction. Find what does suit you. Find what does align with you and your spirit and what does make you feel good and head towards that. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's what I wanted to say. If not, I'll edit it. What else has happened? I learned how to knit, and I also learned that I am now caffeine sensitive. So she's fully in her geriatric era. So that's what this is. I am just an old bitch inside and out, it seems. Maybe not out. I don't know. I still feel youthful. But inside, it's an elderly woman. But anywho, let's get on to gay news. Love running through me like lava. Have y'all seen Beyonce do the hands to heaven trend? It's amazing. Dre Kelly, ugh, your ex may be problematic as hell, but you will always be iconic. She didn't do the point. No. Beyonce didn't do the point. She did the finger guns. Pew-pew. Pew-pew. Okay. Branding at its best, at its finest. Cowboy Carter, please. It's everything. But Drea, you will always be famous. That dance is the best thing to hit TikTok in a minute. I love it. So, Raven Simone's mad at us. I'm sorry, Raven Simone. I've committed to getting that last name accurate. I do. I love me some Raven. I do. Raven is mad at us. Not us. Y'all. Because I mind my business for the most part. Okay, if you haven't been looking at it online, Raven's wife, Miranda, gets a lot of flack for saying like, oh, I didn't know Raven's work before I had met her. And whenever they do interviews together, the interviewer is so, of course, you know, journalism, they are like so engrossed in, you know, Raven's lore as this child star turned adult starlet who is in front and behind the camera, who's just a boss in all different ways, and like now she has a podcast. Raven's just doing the damn thing. I'm a big Raven fan, if you haven't noticed. And yeah, she usually has her wife with her in her interviews, and her wife is either asked or she makes comments that, you know, allude to the fact that she's just not as hip to all of the iconic isms of Raven Simone. She's just not. She doesn't know Xenon, you know. I mean, she does know Xenon, but apparently she didn't know that Raven Simone was in Xenon when they had their interview with Fanita. She doesn't really know the Cheetah Girls music. And that was the same interview, I believe, with Fanita. She does the Bottoms Up podcast, I want to say. No, it's Cheers 2. No, it's Bottoms. Yeah, it's Bottoms Up. I'm about to say, did I just make that up? What is with me and Bottoms? Well, I know exactly what's with me and Bottoms. Okay. All right. Hello. But here's the thing. Raven Simone and her wife did this interview with Fanita on her podcast, Bottoms Up, where Fanita was fangirling, you know, over Raven, as one should. And her wife made it a point to mention that she wasn't as familiar with her work, right? She wasn't as familiar with Raven's work, especially not before actually meeting Raven. And the internet has not let her rest since. Because it's not the first time that she's done this. They've shared their love story before. You know, they met, I believe, when Raven was doing The View. And it's just an interesting tale of sorts. And in my personal opinion, I think it's quite beautiful that Raven has someone in her life who got to meet her as a person first and not the star. that she is, you know, because she's always going to be a star. She's always going to be that. But being that from such a young age, it's all she's ever known at, you know, since the age of three, being on television and being in the spotlight. So to find someone who is a bit oblivious to that and was able to just meet her on a level of human to human, I like you just for that. And then, oh, you have this interesting job. Cool. Anywho, I think that's really dope. I think a lot of it comes from the fact that, you know what? Actually, I take that back before I even say it, because I think a lot of people think it's because she's a white woman. And that's probably why she's getting as much flack as she's getting. They also attribute her race to the reasoning why she probably isn't as familiar with Raven's work, which could be the case. I mean, people just have different upbringings. I mean, and I'm sure while it may not be the deciding factor, everything contributes to, you know, just kind of like the end result of where we end up in life and what we pay attention to and what we don't. Just like how I'm sure some of the hate that she gets is sadly because of the fact that, like, she's this, you know, white woman who may not seem like she really appreciates the culture, even though she's married to such a significant part of it. But I think some people are just assholes, man. I think some people also don't take it as seriously. I think some people just like to make jokes and make light of things. You know, they'll say in a second, especially Black Twitter, hello, our people. Here we go. It's just like, oh, trust me, one thing about Miranda is she's going to let you know she don't know who her wife is. Like, they say, you know, smart ass stuff like that, which I find very hilarious. As someone who's interviewed Raven just for like 5 seconds on a red carpet while her wife was right there, and I talked to both of them, lovely people. They love each other, man. They love each other. It's wild, like, how it's palpable. You can be around them and you can tell, like, they really got each other's backs. So that's really dope. But yeah, man, I don't know. It's wild. People are just going to be people. People are just going to people, I guess. But I think most people just find it funny. And I think, as with anything on the internet, some people just take it too seriously, because apparently Miranda was getting death threats, which is wild for not knowing Raven's work. It's a little extreme. It's a lot extreme. And I say that as somebody who, I watch things because Raven is in it, okay? Hello. From The Cosby Show to Hanging with Mr. Cooper to Xenon and what was the other one that she was in? She was in the Dr. Dolittle movies. She's done a little bit of everything. Of course, that's so Raven. She was on that episode of Empire. She had that the Georgia show. Oh my gosh, she's done so many amazing things. But apparently Miranda was getting a lot of hate and it was getting to her. And Raven and Miranda took to TikTok to kind of silence that hate. And Raven, ooh, Raven was pissed at y'all. She was pissed. Raven said, keep my wife's name out your motherfucking mouth. She was upset. But they cleared the air. Her wife made sure to make it known that she is very well aware of Raven Simone and now her work, but she just wasn't really a fanatic of her work like that, because she just wasn't. And that's okay. But what's not okay, I guess, not even I guess, I know for sure, it's not okay, are death threats. That's wild. I saw more so people just making light of it. But even that, I think Raven and Miranda have both had enough of it. As you can see in the video, Raven was mean mugging everybody. I love Raven. It's so hilarious. She's in her stud era, and I'm not mad at it. The low cut, okay, the hoodie, the mean mug, like, it was on. It's wild. I feel like she thought she was giving Cleo energy, and she was, but on the outside, it's still Raven Simone. It just looked like she just wanted to tell me my future in the most wackiest of ways. Just everything's gonna happen to me and how we can prevent it together if only we dress up like this one specific person. That's what it felt like. Like, the energy was Cleo, but like everything else was like still Raven. So it was hilarious. But those two are adorable, and I just wish them the best, and I hope people let them be, let them rock, let them rock. you know. But Black Twitter is hilarious. I think every tweet that I saw was like harmless and like fun. But you know, the internet has a way of making even the most harmless and fun things so damn awful. So like, I hate that she had to endure any cyberbullying or any hate, especially the death threats. That's wild. Let's see, moving on. Oh, Real Housewives. Okay, here's the thing. Real Housewives is inherently gay. So we're going to cover that in gay news. Starting with Potomac. Potomac is back to filming, despite everybody saying, y'all got to do better. So they're back with the same cast, sans Candace, sadly, my fave. And then I believe it's rumored that NECA is out as well, along with, of course, Robin. But everybody else is coming back, and then they're going to add Kiarna, who was very essential piece to this past season that just went off, especially when it came to their finale. Now, the thing about it is, there was so many people online and on social media who said, if you bring Giselle back, we will not be watching this show. We will be boycotting. I'm not going to lie, I was one of those people. As much as I want to see Kiarna, as much as I want to see Wendy, and I'm interested about Karen and this whole DUI thing. God bless. I hope everybody's okay. But Giselle, I love her relationship with her daughters. She has proven to be so rigid in her disdain for certain people on the show. It makes it so hard to watch. It makes it so hard to enjoy. It's unwatchable and it's unenjoyable. Because at least with Candace, you know, she might hate a bitch. She honestly might. I.e. Ashley. I mean, not now. I think they're fine now. But like, most of the series that she's, you know, most of the time she's been on, her and Ashley have been at odds. But she will still sit down, break bread, talk, have light conversation, and them hoes can't stand each other. I'm sorry, I shouldn't call them hoes. Bitches. Them bitches can't stand each other. But they will sit and talk and chat it up and kiki. And they've said some of the worst things to each other. They've insinuated the worst things about each other and their relationships. And it's just to see one person hold up the group dynamic so much to where trips are being restructured because she doesn't want to go with that person. And then, you know, planning outings, but then ostracizing like this specific set of people when it's supposed to be like a entire group thing. And then when certain issues pop off, even though the people that you don't like have nothing to do with it, you still find some way to blame them because you don't like them, seemingly. Like, it just feels, it's hard to watch. At one point, there was even, I believe, a whole ass petition to have Giselle removed, like a change.org petition, which is very funny. It's awful. It's bad. It's not nice. Let's not advocate for somebody losing their job, but that was wild. But apparently they're back to filming, and Giselle and Ashley were shooting a scene in DC just this past week. So, I mean, even if they weren't going to, you know, shake up the cast a bit or listen to fans and kind of like figure out what to do with Giselle, I think like their reunion just happened. So I feel like they could benefit from some time off. But I mean, I'm not production, so what do I know? I did have a list of all of the silliest things to make petitions about on change.org, like actual real like petitions that exist that are just insanely unserious, and I can't find it. I don't know where it is. If I do, I will post. I'll probably put it on TikTok. But it just tickles me how fucking petty it is. You know how much real shit is happening in the world? The wars that are happening in this world. And we have decided to apparently make a change.org petition to have Giselle Bryant removed from Real Housewives of Potomac. You know it was a gay who did it. I know it. I hate to say it, but I know it was. Anywho, speaking of gay and housewives, Andy Cohen. Oh, TV Deets. on Twitter says that Andy Cohen, allegedly, may be negotiating an exit package with Bravo. He's been having like a lot of allegations against him from like housewives that he's kind of been just inappropriate around them and has done certain things, said certain things. The quote from the tweet says, "Negotiations for Cohen's departure package are underway as he grapples with the fallout from mounting accusations by his stars," a source tells In Touch. Andy Cohen has these allegations of him being just a little bit too free in the way he talks and I think interacts with people on the shows of the Bravo network. And I think it's more so in a way of being suggestive, sexual in nature. And I think because he is a gay man and these are typically straight women that he's talking to and having and building these friendships with, that because of that particular dynamic, it's less offensive. But listen, discomfort is discomfort, right? So you really can't tell anybody how to feel no matter what someone else's orientation is, their preferences. If I don't want to hear or have you as my boss talk to me about things that are kind of like intimate and personal, whether it be in your own personal life or my own personal life, jokingly or not, you know, it's, there are boundaries that I think should be in place. But also, like, certain things are nuanced and not everything is black and white. It just depends. But I tend to err on the side of caution and believe people who are saying like they're uncomfortable. I feel like that deserves and needs to be heard first and foremost, and to really dig deep into why that is and to hopefully find resolution in that. You know, it, again, the intention doesn't matter. It's the impact that it causes. So if you have someone who is working under you, no pun intended, you need to make sure you're putting their comfort and their well-being as a priority, because that's kind of your job. That's kind of your job to navigate as a boss, is to not only make things happen and get things done, but also to make sure that the people who are working for you feel respected and that it's a harmonious work environment. And I feel like they can't do that if you always talking about, you know, bow chicka wow wow. You know, that's just me. But I do think that there are some certain examples and circumstances where, you know, people talk, people joke in the workplace, and people have, you know, certain understandings, and there's, you know, certain lighthearted fun that happens. But I think that more so lies within people who are colleagues and peers with one another, even if that, because at the end of the day, this is work. So you don't necessarily have to have those conversations or have that type of play at work. You can play about other things, but like things that kind of relate back to intimate dealings or sexually suggestive topics, it's probably best to steer clear from when it's people you work with. It's never why. It doesn't seem to be a wise thing to do. And it's also like, you gotta be careful, because some people, not everybody is cool with that kind of stuff. Not everybody's like open to that kind of stuff and talking about it or joking about it, or I don't know. And I'm trying to choose my words carefully, because every time that I've read about what people are accusing him of, it does seem very like gray. I don't even fully understand it, but I just thought that he might be leaving. And if I'm honest, I don't think that's going to happen, but it would be so interesting if it did. I wonder who would replace him. Who would y'all think would replace Andy Cohen? I feel like a lot of people's first thought is like, oh, like a Carlos King. Like, they, you know, you have to go like this powerful producer gay, and you have to replace him with another powerful producer gay. And I think people automatically go, at least I think from my vantage point, people would think, oh, Carlos King, he was a, you know, he was behind the scenes on Housewives of Atlanta, and he produces his own shows now, and all that kind of good stuff. I don't know about that, but I could, you know, weirdly enough, I could see Candy Burris. I don't think she would do it. But if anything, because Andy not only produces, but he's in like the idea guy, but he's also like the host of Watch What Happens Live. And the only person I can think of who's like in that universe or has ties to that universe who is great at quote unquote getting the tea in a format that is similar to Watch What Happens Live is Candy Burris with her speak on it. And I know not everyone loves Candy Burris like that. She's, you know, like with any star, she can be polarizing. People either really love her or they're like, I don't get it. I love her. So I fully get it. So that's someone that I, funny enough, could see, but I don't think she would do it. And I don't think Andy would leave. I don't. But I think Candy is somebody to think about. I think I just want to see speak on it on TV. Because I think that could be fun. That could be a good time. What else? Oh, Fat Joe was talking about gays. That happened. Yeah, from the Neighborhood Talk, they pulled a clip from what looks to be a self-recorded video or an Instagram Live of some sort. The headline reads, Fat Joe says a lot of male rappers are painting their nails, carrying Birkins, and wearing dresses as a trend to go viral and sell more. Mentions Nicki Minaj and Beyonce fans. Quote, the LGBT really supports you, so we gotta act like that. Okay, that's bullshit. Okay, here's the thing. People do what they want to do. That's just it. People don't do nothing they don't want to do, unless they are like there's a gun being put to their head and they they're under like duress, you know, physical like coercion, or mental, you know, manipulation. Like, but other than that, other than those extenuating circumstances, people generally, I believe, do what the fuck they want to do. I could be wrong. I mean, also societal pressures are a thing that's always at play. So I don't want to take away from the validity of what he might be alluding to and what he could be saying. There is a modicum, at least a modicum of truth in it. But that feels, what's the word I'm looking for? What are the words I'm looking for? It feels like a backhanded compliment almost. It somehow feels like a backhanded compliment. And I can't place how. Like, you know, all your favorite rappers who are doing all this feminine shit, they're only doing it so you can buy their, I mean, honestly, you know what? I feel like a lot of queer people have called out this pandering that happens amongst a lot of straight men in the industry, whether it be actors, musicians, it does happen. That's a very true thing. But I'm not sure if certain things like wearing Birkins and painting nails are that cool yet to where it's solely being done for the support of queer audiences in terms of like straight men, you know, or straight masculine presenting people. I mean, even with Uzi, first off, Lil Uzi is everything. There's this video of them voguing, I want to say. Like, yeah, they're at this festival voguing and they have like a purse and everything. It's just, and Uzi is able to still be Uzi, which is like adorably like flamboyant, but also like hard in their music and also be able to be masculine presenting when they want to be, but also a little bit more like flagrant and really when they want to be, and also still have this amazing partner who accepts that. Uzi has JT and JT has Uzi, and it's really cool to see that they can operate beyond the bullshit of people's limited view of what relationships like should look like between a masculine presenting person and a feminine presenting person, or a heterosexual relationship, or however they classify. There is some truth that there is pandering to the queer community. That's obvious. But to generalize it that much from that pull quote, and maybe that's on us as the audience who is perceiving it as it being so generalized, but for it to be that generalized when you have somebody like Lil Uzi who is breaking so many barriers, it feels like you're dismissing the progress that that person is actually making by allowing so many other men or masculine presented people to like feel kind of empowered by what they see Uzi doing, or what they see their favorite male rapper doing by putting on nail polish and having Birkins or whatever. You know, you have them feeling empowered to be more of whoever they are, and knowing that it's not attached to their sexuality. It's not attached to them being less of a man or less of a person because they want pretty things or they want to do certain things that are traditionally seen as feminine. It feels like a diss to that particular concept, and I don't love that. But it is true. Negroes be out here like trying to like pander to the queer community. That's very abundantly clear. But I do think that there are, to that point, there's also a lot of people who are doing it authentically, and I don't think it's fair to make a generalized statement about everybody who's doing it as if everyone's out here pandering, when some people are just like really finding themselves, and them doing that in the spotlight and while they have a big platform, it's helping other people discover themselves as well. Also, Fat Joe naming Nicki Minaj, wild, wild. How the turns have tabled. But I feel like we're way past Sheether days, it's fine. I'm sure Remy does not give a single solitary fuck. But that is interesting. And I do appreciate Nicki Minaj endlessly. I'm a Barb. I know that's also a polarizing thing, you know, but it is what it is. I can't help who I love. Can't help what I am. I am what I am, and I'm a Barb. And I think there's something to be said about how Nicki Minaj has really allowed for queer people to feel included in the world of hip hop. She's really done a lot in that way. And so I have a lot of other female rappers before her, of course, but like, I feel like Nicki Minaj has had such a strong movement. And I know personally, as a queer person who loves Nicki Minaj, That's what I felt. It was through Nicki Minaj's music, where she was in a genre that is just inherently supposed to be hard and like masculine and tough. And she came in not only being girly, but also being a fucking weirdo and theatrical and like doing voices, doing like accents. And she carved out such a specific niche of attributes that were able to exist in hip hop that were also aligned with a lot of attributes that I feel exist within the queer community just so openly and naturally. And that, I think, is why so many gays, theys, and thems, and all the peoples under the queer umbrella really love Nicki. And we ride for her as hard as we do, because she makes us feel seen in this weird way. And she continues to do that. She continues to do that. And I think it's because of people like Nicki Minaj, because of people like Uzi, because of people who have also come before those two. Those are the reason why people are being a little bit more open and queer coded. It's because they now have the freedom to do so. And that's probably something that's been with them all along. Let's see, what else? Speaking of Nicki, the Met Gala happened. Oh boy. Oh boy. She looked amazing. No notes. Perfect. Just perfect. It was colorful. Here's the thing. Her look was nostalgic, but still like very fresh and modern at the same time. I believe it was made from recycled aluminum. It was just everything. I've said that about everything, but truly that look was so good. And it was so reminiscent of her earlier years, where everything was just Harajuku themed and like colorful and vibrant, but also wacky and like out there, both like metaphorically, but also like literally, like protruding flowers, which is not like a new concept, but the way that it was done was so masterful this go around. And seeing it on her specifically was just so effervescent. It was beautiful. It was everything. Oh no, I gotta broaden my vocabulary. This is ridiculous. I don't know, the Met Gala wasn't that bad. Met Gala was confusing this year. Was it just me? I was thoroughly puzzled the entire time, because we were told at some point this year's Met Gala is Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion. Ah, right. Hell of a fucking title. Really wordy. But you know what? Why not? And then I was told via Twitter that, oh, that was just the theme of the Met Gala. The actual dress code was gardens through time or in time. Some shit like that, right? When have we ever done this before? Am I tripping? I thought the Met Gala was just like one thing, and then that's the thing. Like, the year Heavenly Bodies was the theme. That was just the thing. People came and dressed up Heavenly Bodies. I thought, maybe I'm misremembering. I could be wrong. But that was just confusing. Why is it Sleeping Beauty, but also Garden of Time? Why? Why? And why were there so many neutrals? What does that have to do with either concept? Everybody was in a different flavor of beige, and I didn't understand it. They looked amazing, but it was just interesting. It was interesting. I'll tell you who did beige right, though. Lil Nas X, of course. It was like this beige diamond encrusted concoction. It was really nice. You know, a lot of people clown Donald Glover. People played all in Donald Glover's face, and I don't appreciate it. Okay, you will not do Childish that way. You will not be childish with Childish, okay? That's his job, not ours. Childish Gambino did this oversized, like, tan look, and so many people were on his head, like, oh, you look like Steve Harvey. Oh, you look like a substitute teacher. Oh, you look like this, you look like that. Is it my favorite? No. Does he look bad? Oh, I should answer more quickly. Donald Glover is handsome. It's hard for him to look bad. That's the thing about it. Did I love it on him? No. I didn't love it. I thought he could have did much better. But it's hard to make Donald Glover look bad. That's the thing about it. I mean, yes, he looks like he was going to tell me what the survey said in the top five answers, but that's irrelevant. But I say that to say this, he went for this oversized look, which seems to be like this kind of like trend that was happening throughout the entire Met Gala with the guys. All the guys were doing like these oversized drapey looks. And I think that's what he was going for, but I'm not sure if it was done and executed in the way that was going to be the most successful for the look he was going for, if that makes sense. Probably not. There was a lot of words. But Lil Nas X also did an oversized drapey look. And that was spectacular. I don't know what it has to do with time and like sleepiness, but like it looked good on him. A win is a win. And mind you, I say this as a person who knows diddly squat about fashion or anything fashion related. Look at me. I mean, I know, look, hello. All right. But it's just fashion. It's clothing. Another one who was in a nice neutral was Tyla. You know, make me sweat, make me water. She looked phenomenal. That I did get. Tyla was probably the best dressed and the most on theme of anyone there, with the theme being Sleeping Beauties and the dress code being Garden of Time. Her being dressed head to toe in sand, as in, of course, the sands of time, but also, if you're thinking on the other side of sleepiness, bitch, the Sandman. And for her to come out in this, it was perfect. Another one, Zendaya, who had this beautiful, like, ethereal peacock-colored garment that was just draped so perfectly around her with this, like, dark makeup. And then, like, the delicateness of this purple and, like, feathery goodness that was happening. She had Law Roach and the other, I think, creative director who was getting the shot for her, all dressed in black. And then they came back around and then she came in this all black number. And then the makeup was a little bit more soft. And then the guys, Law, and then the other creative director were there in all white. Like, it was just balanced out so well from her makeup to her look. That juxtaposition of like light and dark. Then with her look and whatever was overwhelmingly light about it or dark about it, directly juxtaposed the guys who were surrounding her. It was just beautiful. And the whole fucking bouquet on her head. Bitch, how dare she? This is just so good. Kiki Palmer's, I loved. At first, it just looked like she was like tangled up in saran wrap that was dipped in glitter. And I was like, I live. But I remember going onto her page and her saying, like, this mummy is awake. So she was dressed as a mummy. Another person who was just, like, so perfectly on theme. A mummy who is someone who is in a coffin, you know, who is, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it, asleep. But that particular reference is such a specific period of time. So for her to come dressed as this like fierce ass like mummy with this high ass ponytail, that ponytail was disrespectfully high. Oh my gosh, it was just insane. I thought that was just perfect. I'm taking too long, so let's speed through these. Kim Kardashian, I liked it. The waist alone made this look worthwhile. Violet Chachki, the doors you've opened. Let's see, Deanna Taylor looks fucking amazing. Just downright delicious. Doja Cat looks slippery. Love it. Who else? Bad Bunny? Bad Bunny got ass. Looks great. The co-chair of this year's Met. Honestly, he does. He can do no wrong in my book. Jennifer Lopez. She was also the co-chair. Everyone kept looking at her and saying, like, this is quintessential Jennifer Lopez. And I couldn't tell if that was, like, a compliment or a read. You know, everyone who looked at her was like, oh, that's quintessential Jennifer Lopez. Quintessential Jennifer Lopez. Quintessential Jennifer Lopez. I don't know if that's good or bad, but the body is always right. That's a beautiful woman. From top to bottom, you really can't say nothing too bad about it. Even if we always do see her in like this sheer nude diamond encrusted color, she does it well. well. She does it well. Honorable mentions. Mindy Kaling looked amazing. Usher was interesting. It is. It's another good-looking guy, and it's hard to make him look bad. It was just an interesting choice, the way it was kind of styled. It was just interesting. I couldn't place my finger on it until I saw this one tweet that said, remember that one episode where Gina and Martin were retelling the story of how they first met? And I'm like, that's it. That's what it is. Oh, you bitch. You unserious R&B man. How dare you? And you know what? From that perspective, not mad at it. Wisdom K is exactly where he's meant to be, which is at the Met fucking gala. Wisdom K at the Met gala feels just correct. That is the right decision. Whoever made that call, kudos. And Queen Latifah, oh my gosh. Okay, so I don't think these are birds of paradise. Just glancing at it, and I thought like, ooh, sunflowers, I live. You know I love me a sunflower. But they're birds of paradise, which is just the most beautiful flower. It's so great. And that against this beautiful, what is it? This sequined beaded black background is just so, so gorgeous. And what's even more gorgeous is that her partner is right beside her. Her partner is right beside her. Talk about black queer excellence. Queen Latifah. Miss Dana, she did that. I am so happy for them. Because you know Queen, you know, she's very close to the vest with her personal life. It's not that she's ever been ashamed of who she is and who she loves. It's just that it's none of our business like that. And she comes from an era where you had to be kind of tight-lipped about it. But to get to a point to where she's just living and not having to worry about it one way or the other, and Ebony's right by her side. Happy tears. So sweet, so cute. I love every bit of this. I think that's it. Yeah. Watching Glee for the first time and this show starts with a gay teacher assaulting a student. That's funny. Speaking of Glee, did you see that Darren Criss called himself culturally queer? What the fuck does that mean? Is it because of Glee? That has to be it, right? I was so confused about it because he's not actually queer. And that's not what he was saying. I think he's just putting the stamp as I am culturally queer. Feels like you're trying to assume an identity other than just being like, yeah, I played a gay character once, so I'm a part of the queer zeitgeist, which is basically what he's saying. I don't know. That's interesting. I don't know. But yeah, there's this article that Darren Criss is culturally queer. And I can't say it's wrong. I mean, I could, but I'm not going to because I don't feel that way. You know, yeah, you are a part of the culture. You are what you are. You played an iconic gay character. And that's how many of us know you and will mostly remember you. And that's simply because that's where a lot of people first learned of his talent as an actor and a singer was through this queer character. But yeah, the label of being culturally queer is interesting. Yeah, even this the Vanity Fair article headline literally reads Darren Criss self-identifies as culturally queer. Yeah, it feels odd to me that it's being said as an identity. I also wonder what culturally queer means, because I'm not knocking it and saying like, oh, it's not a thing. It doesn't exist. And from the piece that I read, it sounded like he was just being very complimentary to the queer community and saying like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to be cool like you guys. And because of this community that exists, I was able to play this character and I was able to like find a way through into the industry and pull from that amazingness that is the queer community. Everything he was saying was so complimentary. It wasn't like it was a bad thing at all. It's just something I've never heard before. And I'm curious about it. Because I feel like when I come on here and I talk about shit, the two times I've done it now, it's not always about people who are gay, but people who are culturally queer. Beyonce's not a gay woman. She's not even a little bit. I mean, listen, Beyonce in a suit, it does things to me. But that's neither here nor there. Beyonce is fully in a heterosexual relationship and has been for years, a whole ass marriage. And she's never identified as anything other than straight, but she is culturally queer because she's Beyonce. She's a queer icon. Gay men are obsessed with her. Gay women are obsessed with her. Everyone in between is obsessed with Beyonce. But she has a very prominent queer fan base, as Fat Joe pointed out. Same thing with Nicki Minaj. now that I'm thinking about it and I'm talking through it, I don't think I mind it. It feels odd to quote unquote self-identify per se, but I do think that there's a special dynamic for not just supporting queer people and queer artists, but also artists who support queer people, you know? And when I think of who I want to support and what I want to support, it's not just other people who happen to be queer, but people who support queer people as well, you know? For instance, who is it? NLE Choppa. Oh my gosh, Slut Me Out 2, I think it's called, is the gayest song that has, I believe, ever existed in all of life. And NLE Choppa is a straight man, fully on this like rap song saying, if I was a bad bitch, I would have fucked me too. Hell yeah. Like, you know how fucking gay that shit is? It's so good. It's so good. Honestly, again, probably the gayest song I've ever heard, but also like it's not. And he even got on, I believe, Twitter thanking the LGBTQIA plus community for showing so much love to that track. Like, he's fully aware of its popularity in that particular sector. And I think the more we can bridge a gap between being othered and feeling accepted and just making it one big old melting pot of support, it's a good thing. Maybe we don't always need to like label and identify things, because I feel like it goes without saying that Darren Criss is a very important part of a lot of people's queer awakening, especially in that specific time frame while watching Glee. So again, I'm not sure if those labels are quite necessary, or those like identifiers, quote unquote identifiers, are necessary in that way. If you're not, you know, you don't hear, I'll say this, you don't see Kylie Minogue saying that, oh, I'm culturally queer. She's just, she knows it. She's another prominent part of the queer community that means a lot to a lot of us. Same with Beyonce, same with Nicki, same with Rihanna, same with so many amazing women and men who have broken barriers to allow for there to be more freedom in people expressing all facets of themselves. Prince is so queer-coded, but I don't think Prince ever needed to say that he was culturally queer, you know? And just because others in the past have never felt the need to say it doesn't mean that we can't start saying it now. I'm just curious about it. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it now that I think of it. I actually quite like it. You know, if it makes him feel good, good for him. Shit. I don't know. But I think I've talked enough. My mouth is dry. I don't know how to end this. But if you're listening, if you're watching, tell me what you think about all this stuff. Is culturally queer a thing to you? Are you excited about Potomac returning probably sooner than later? Are you going to be watching even though Giselle's going to be there? I said I wouldn't, but you know what? I really want to see Kiana. It's just sometimes it's just so uncomfortable to watch. And yeah, who was your favorite look from the Met Gala? I really want to know. I want to know what people liked. I think Tyla took it home. And then a close second, a very close second is Nicki Minaj. Yeah, that's my baby. And I don't know. Maybe I'll do another one. I don't know. Bye.